Blog Talk Radio.
Weather today in the greater Cincinnati area.
I love you so badly, I could...
They're solid plastic, so don't settle for imitation.
But the senator, while insisting he was not intoxicated, could not explain his nudity.
Welcome to Ringside Wrap,
a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on major pro wrestling and MMA promotions, the occasional history lesson, and interviews with legends of yesterday and stars of today. And now the GWH Radio Network presents Ringside Wrap.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Ringside Wrap on this Wednesday, June 20th, 2012. And if I'm not mistaken, about 50 minutes ago or so, and I checked my almanac, we've got the solstice, so we're officially into the summer season. And as always, I'm Mike Sempervivi, joined on the line right now by the legendary Les Thatcher. And Les, I hope it was not 100 degrees in Cincinnati the same way it was over here today.
Les actually dropped off the line there accidentally. Get back on.
Maybe it is that hot in Cincinnati as the disembodied voice of Rich Tate comes out of the studios and onto the line. Yeah, it was hot today. It was really hot today. Now, it will probably be hot, and hopefully it will be hot, this coming Sunday, June 24th, the ROH Best in the World hostage crisis iPay-per-view will take place from New York City. And we're going to be talking to Mike Mondo about that show and about his run in ROH ever since he came back. And I think he wrestled Delirious is what it was on one of the tours over in Ohio. Ever since, I think it was either Ohio or Kentucky when that happened, when they had a little trade over with OVW. And he really surprised some people, which kind of surprised me that it surprised some people. Is, you know, I guess when you're out of sight, you're out of mind sometimes for people. And after he left WWE as a member of the Spirit Squad, he went over to back to his roots in OVW. And, you know, some guys like Ken Doan got out of the business completely. Dolph Ziggler, you see the path he's on now. And Mondo went back to OVW where, you know, some of his best work was. If you had a chance to see him in OVW at that time, I mean, that promotion was pretty great, especially in hindsight. And I don't know if 24/7 will ever actually play any of the Ohio Valley stuff. I know they've done a little bit here and there. Mostly just, you know, you end up seeing the clips of guys who have been down there like Batista and such. They don't really refer to him as Leviathan or anything like that. They just use little pictures of him on the when they're doing their documentaries and on their DVDs and things like that. But, you know, the Damager and Doug Basham and you know, Mondo down there. And most of the guys you see now, Randy Orton, John Cena, Batista, you know, some of the bigger guys in the last few years made their way through not only Les's Heartland Wrestling Association, which we talk about oftentimes on this program, but through Jim Cornette's OPW. And Mondo went back down there and I guess, you know, kept honing his craft. And surprised some people when he got the shot in ROH. And he's kind of taken that ball and ran with it seriously ever since. And I'm not sure what the plans are going to be for him, but they're probably going to be pretty good in that he and Davey Richards went to a draw this past weekend in West Virginia, their first time in there. I think it was in Charleston, running the Civic Center there. So that's probably good news for him, and we're going to be talking a lot about that to him later on tonight. Listen, back on the line right now, but we're going to be talking to him about a new venture that he's going to be a part of, too. So looking forward to getting him back on the line here soon. I guess we can kind of start off by talking about I hate to bring this up. And I remember there was talk, and we talked about it a little on this show, and I think Les and I were both in agreement that when John Cena's divorce was announced and that he was filing for divorce, and kind of on the Observer page, and obviously everywhere, it was a story. It wasn't really a story for me, as, you know, these types of things can, I'm not saying make me uncomfortable or anything like that, but it's really not your business to kind of get into, especially that early in the game. It's got no effect at all, and I wouldn't want somebody digging into my personal life all that much. So, you know, I'm not trying to dig into John Cena's, but Ken Doan today did an interview with a website, and he was going out, obviously, Kenny and the Spirit Squad is probably what he is best known for. But he taught, and he was going out with Mickie James for a long time there, and he brought up how John Cena has kind of been the Tiger Woods of the WWE, and on a day where John Cena makes his, I think it was his 300th Make-A-Wish, and was featured on Good Morning America, it was interesting timing with this coming out today, and obviously, you know, the TMZ-related news and stories where, you know, and again, we can get to this a little bit later on now that Les is back on here. Les, I don't know if you heard me a little while ago, but was it boiling in Cincinnati today the same way it was on the East Coast?
It's red hot. I couldn't get you guys at first. I dialed in, and all I got was static. I mean, I said, I thought, well, finally Mike's overloaded the circuits, and
it's not even that. It's for the excitement and everybody waiting to jump in and listen to the fact that Mike Mondo is going to be on later on.
Is that what it is? Okay.
That's what.
Well, I misconstrued it. My bad. I'd like to make
doing?
A wish.
What's that?
that they wouldn't hang on to an ankle lock for a week to 10 days.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah.
When they go into their finish an hour too early. That, you know, I'm sorry. That is, and the best I can assume is they went into it too early and didn't know what else to do, just sit there and wait, which is not a good sign. Somebody has to, you know, even a cattle stampede has a leader. and there was nobody leading them. I mean, really, Mike, that referee's got an earpiece. If he was told they're into it, you know, they've got X number of time left, and they realized they'd gone into it too quick. They need to get the hell out of it. I mean, let him get to the ropes, get him out of it, and work another minute or two or whatever it took, and go back to it, because it became bullshit. Come on, here we go. Developing another John Cena, right?
Oh, that's the whole thing. Not only does it become bullshit, it becomes bullshit with two guys with legitimate amateur backgrounds who, I mean, you could do even though I hate it, that cornball roll-through. You know, people always did it with Kurt Angle where the guy takes, to me, it's, you know, the way over-exaggerated bump, usually through the ropes. Like, you know, why that wasn't done or something wasn't done, it came off crappy. It came off aesthetically like crap. You know, for anybody watching, to me, it did, at least.
Yeah, it really did.
You as well.
And see, those are little things that, I'm nobody special in terms of my as a worker, but it was just, you know, stuff like that was something that when I was, you know, during my 20 years in the ring, you didn't think about it twice. If somebody said, "You guys are going, you're going to your finish too early," you switch gears. You got out of it, and you know, you did whatever was necessary to fill the gap and came back to it. You know, I mean, it wasn't a question, well, we'll sit here for an hour. You know, it's just, I'm sorry. I just, you know, it's just, now I don't know if anybody in the back, like the you know, the agent had put that together, or Vince or anybody got upset with it, but I sure, you know, I mean, it wasn't, don't get me wrong, it wasn't earth shattering, and You know, it wasn't any worse than them announcing for the fourth week in a row John Cena was going to wrestle three guys, Big Show and Laurinaitis being two of the three. And then the announcers acting like this was something special. And I'm thinking, that drives me crazy because it's like I don't tweet and I don't text and I don't do all the social media stuff, but I realize it's out there. And they use it, to, you know, we're trending, blah, blah, blah. And yet they're not smart enough to realize that everybody knew that this would have been the fourth week in a row, that just the first three since they were after the TV went off that we're supposed to pretend like they never happened. I mean, to me, that's insulting.
Oh, and you're wrapping it around with a stipulation, which, surprise, surprise, once again, that they don't go through with. They come up with some BS in a way to, again, because you're not being creative enough to continue a story. You have to embarrass Laurinaitis the next night, and then you have him announce a match, even though he's fired. What a surprise. A stipulation like you being fired doesn't mean anything in WWE in a situation that
still happens to
involve John Cena.
Yeah, my guess would be if you were fired from here, that next week whatever you had planned would be null and void, would it not? I mean, unless Rich decided that it was of value to use, is what I'm saying. And now it's like, well, he's got to wrestle house shows. Well, the other part is, if any of this is for real, if this multi-billion-dollar company is for real, if this was any other sporting event, would a man with a crutch and his arm in a sling be allowed to any type of competition to begin with?
Yeah.
I mean, it's childish. It's Three Stooges like, is it not?
No, that's exactly what it is. It's, you know, it's crappy slapstick. And again, it's that to me. And again, at least with the Three Stooges, you knew their spots, and in a way, it was aesthetically pleasing. Now, you weren't going to watch it. For some people, the movies were way too long. But it's like with WWE, they don't do anything well. You know, they do a whole bunch of stuff half-assed or they don't do it well at all, even though they have the capabilities, at least to me, to do all of these things well. And they just, they're not funny. They're not dramatic. They're a whole lot of nothing.
Two things came struck me today. I listened to the Matt Hardy interview with Dave and Brian, and I read the Ken Dorn, or part of the Ken Dorn. These are both young guys we're talking about now. These are not old guys that are jealous or old guys that are bitter, you know, that crap that I hear all the time. These are two young guys. Matt said that, he was discussing that they wanted him, you know, an angle with he and Jeff, that he had burned Jeff's house down. And he said that's take. And the point he made was, if it's time to go back to where things are closer to real and not so far over the line. And Dorn mentioned with baby faces should sell, because why would you get behind them if they don't? And I thought, okay. Everybody, it seems like everybody in the world understands this is a problem except for the small core of people who actually put this whole thing together. Are they that isolated? I mean, are they in a soundproof booth? Do they live there and they pick the booth up and put it on a truck and transport it to the next city or what? I mean, I really don't know.
Well, that's where it's been that criticism of the bubble and what they consider, like, even down to things like music that they use for pay-per-views and being stuck in a certain time and being stuck where, I guess, as long as you're making money, the formula must be correct and we need to do they you know, wrestling is what built their empire, and you're still, even though times change, even though wrestling changes, whether anybody likes it or not, things change, trends, styles, fashion, everything changes as you go along, but you have to adapt and go forward and not forget about the core where you made your money. I mean, one of the things I can actually, in a way, give them credit for on Sunday was Sheamus retaining the title. Now, I understand that this probably, with the situation they're in, probably would have been a good time to maybe give some shine to Dolph Ziggler, but then again, titles don't mean anything, and it's not like Sheamus is going to rescue the title. But at least Punk, even though they haven't been portrayed in at the main event as far as, you know, feuds and as far as pay-per-views go, Punk held that title a long time. There was no real reason for Sheamus to lose it to Ziggler other than to make people there happy. if you were not going to do something major with Ziggler, and obviously they're not, because he's not a babyface. He's still with Vicky, not exactly sure what's going on with him. So, yeah, he's not ready. And so,
well,
why
there's another point to that match is that they got lost in it. That's the that's more important than a title or change or no change, is the fact that you can't. Here's the deal. When you put Flair and Steamboat or Briscoe and Funk or Buddy Rogers and Pat O'Connor or whoever, or Steve Austin and, I don't know, Bret Hart, you don't expect them to go out there and screw up. You expect, in other words, this is the world championship, this is the title, you're on top, you're the main. This wasn't the main event, but I mean, the point is, we've been saying, they've got guys who can entertain, they don't have guys who can carry the ball. That was a good example of that particular thing. Now, that's not down on these guys haven't, to the best of my knowledge, either one had a chance to really work with a series of veterans to teach them. They're working with guys at their own level or their peers for the most part. So, there's the flaw in the system. How do I don't have an answer how to change it or anything, but I mean, that's the flaw in the system.
And you know what, Elsie? Use this time to take a little bit of a break here, because there's some stuff I want to get to, too, before we bring Mike Mondo on at 8:30. So we'll be right back after this quick break on Ringside Wrap.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Hi, I'm Jody Peterman. We know that no one understands what you need better than you do. We take care to guide you through the legal process, ensuring that you're able to make the decisions that are best for you. If you have a personal injury, criminal, or family law issue, please take a look at our website to learn more about our practice. We offer a free initial consultation for personal injury cases. Give us a call at 229-375-5680. We have a reputation for being accessible and treating our clients well. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hello, I'm Guy Terry of Terry and Peterman. At Terry and Peterman, we are committed to representing the hardworking residents of South Georgia in personal injury, criminal, and family law matters. For years, we have worked with college students in this area to ensure legal issues do not disrupt their academic careers. We also represent military families struggling with divorce and family law issues. We rely upon over 30 years of combined experience to provide aggressive representation for our clients.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling at the Academy Theater in Avondale State. We're also at the Masquerade every month or so. Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Championship Wrestling, and you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling. We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
All right, we're back here on Ringside Wrap with Terry Les Thatcher, along with me, Mike Sempervivi, and in a little while we're going to be having Mike Mondo on the program to talk about Ring of Honor and their upcoming iPay-per-view. But back to a few things we were talking about before, Les. I obviously didn't get a chance to hear me when I was talking about this earlier on. When news broke of the John Cena divorce, just both of us said, it's not our business, it's not really... We're not discussing this. We didn't go out of our way or anything like that. But it's just, to me, the way it was covered on the Wrestling Observer site, which I work for, and Figure Four, and just a couple of other places. Obviously, it was big, sexy, TMZ-style news, so people jumped on it. But I didn't think, to me at least, it wasn't my business to get into. with Ken Doan's interview today that had come out, and I just, the only reason I want to talk about this a little bit is, I remember Jim Cornette always saying how, like, they killed that kid. They broke that kid where he went home with all this talent, just said, to hell with this. And he's been, you know, he's, I guess from how it sounds in the interview, he's been very quiet in that he didn't want to stir up anything. He, again, and for people who have not seen this yet, you can go to the Observer site, and I can't remember the website that actually did this interview. He talks about his time and now just basically saying, forget it. I know I'm not going to be invited back. But the affair that Mickey James reportedly had with John Cena, and he's saying John Cena is like the Tiger Woods of WWE and sleeping around and things like that. One of the things Johnny Ace told him when he was released, if he wanted to push it any further when it came to the Cena, Mickey James whole situation, if he pushed it anymore in talking about it, he probably would affect him being able to come back. And hearing about his plight with TNA, where Dixie Carter said, well, gee, you don't have the attitude problem I heard about. And the fact that his whole... not only his career, but his life, what he was doing, was basically wrecked in a swoop by WWE and seemingly John Cena. Obviously, we're getting one side of the story in all this, but do you have any opinion on any of this or the treatment of him where, you know, they really did ruin what looked to be a pretty damn good talent?
Well, you know, first of all, the fact that somebody's having an affair behind the scenes is hardly earth-shattering to me. You know, this is like telling me a college football player got paid under the table. Really? Or professional bodybuilders might use muscle-enhancing drugs. Really? No, I don't. I mean, it's like... I guess because, again, we're talking about the social media thing, and I guess due to there's so much, you know, this is what the people want to hear, that you're subjected to that. What I don't like is the threat of that being held over somebody's head in terms of their job. No, I mean, there's always been politics in our business. I'm sure there's politics in the entertainment business, period. I'm sure at Broadway movies, you know, you read some of the movie stuff, you know, at times, and you know, the casting couch and that sort of thing. But in this day and age, there's such a narrow business community that they have so much political power. In other words, it's not like, okay, Ken, say what you like. You know, you can go to 20 other promotions. There aren't 20 other promotions, you know, and make similar money or better money or whatever. There's too much power in that situation. And I think that stinks. I honestly do. If you don't want to use somebody for the reasons you don't want to use them, I think that's fine. But, you know, to hold that over my eye, I find that distasteful. I honestly do. You know, stuff like this is going to go on behind the scenes. Again, I hate to see it. There's, you know, certain things that you just don't share publicly. I don't like to hear the bickering, you know, like, say, between Flair and Foley or Michaels and Hart. Or you know, I don't think that does anything to enhance our business in any way, shape, or form. And I think there's certain things, you know, everybody wants to go behind the curtain or see how the magician, you know, makes the elephant disappear, that sort of thing. But I think there's certain things that you just don't share, you know, and but then John Cena is a big name, and he is huge with Make-A-Wish. I think I heard you mentioning that when I first got back on here. You mentioned something about Make-A-Wish and that, you know.
Yeah. Well, I guess he did his 300th
about.
Or something like that,
yeah,
today.
Yeah, right, okay. So there is certainly 180 degrees between this wonderful man, caring person who helps children who are ill and diseased and, you know, and possibly near death's door, and this guy who is supposed to be the epitome of good and, you know, and goodness and Boy Scouties, you know, and the whole thing, and the fact that apparently if they say he's like, you know, Tiger Woods of wrestling, then it's like there's, you know, he's got a list, you know, that he goes through. So that's news. I mean, do I think it's a great idea? Not necessarily, no, but, you know, that's the way it is. So you put yourself in that position, I suppose, you know, you take what's handed to you and realize, well, I, you know, he's the one that's, you know, that's cheating on his wife and the one that, you know, and doing it with somebody else's fiance within the business. You know, now, if he's out with a waitress or an insurance salesman or, you know, that has no, you know, media significance in terms of our business, maybe it's easier to get by with it. Or maybe if he doesn't do it around his constituents, it's easier to get by with it. So, you know, in part, you got to say, you know, this is the old saying, you made your bed, now lay in it, sort of thing, too. I don't, you know.
I was just saying, I not only do I agree with you, but I want to throw this out there, and this is going to sound awful. Again, he's the one who did file for divorce from his wife. Again, we don't know anything other than she's looking for more information on things, which is the irony. I guess that came out on PMZ, which is now ironic with this coming out today with Ken Doan. You know, maybe a guy who's on the road 300 days a year who does all that, I'm not defending him at all, and I will say this, maybe much like a Tiger Woods or somebody like that, maybe they just shouldn't be married.
Well, you know what?
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. You know, the entertainment or professional sports is tough on marriages anyway, Mike. I mean, I think that's if you, especially if you're in it, you realize it. Over my career in this business, you know, which spans a lot of years, have I heard of a wrestler having an affair with another wrestler's wife or girlfriend or fiance? You want me to write a book about it? I mean,
some guys have.
I could do a. It may not be 300 pages ago. I could do a sizable book on just that alone. Do I intend to? No. Because again, that's, you know, I think, is it right? No. Is it, you know, a good thing? No. But it's not, you know, it's just something that you sit on. You don't make it public, and I, you know, I would never intend to do that. So that, you know, it's a shame that it's happened. But and with Ken Doan, I don't know the kid, you know, but apparently if this is his only recourse to strike back, then I you know, I'm no psychologist either, but I kind of understand that, as you must as well, right? I mean,
oh, absolutely. Well, absolutely, because more so than losing the woman or any of that sort of stuff, it's when you walk into a place and you get to try out, and then you have the owner of the company say, well, I thought you had an attitude problem, not what I heard, you know, you don't seem to have one. And that's got to be such a shot in the gut and the groin. You know, as far as, you know, after all the what you just went through, and again, looking at just from his side of the story, all that you went through up there, to have you turn around and get kicked in the groin down there, and again, just not be blackballed, but show up at shows and say, hey, you know, I'll give you a call in a couple weeks, and all that sort of stuff. And that's, boy, that's got the sting. And the guy who, again, was part of that sting when it relates to, you know, Ken Doan as far as professionally when it came to the Spirit Squad, was Mike Mondo, you know, Mikey. And that's how, unfortunately, no, I don't want to say unfortunately, because, you know, he got a chance to be on national TV, and he did actually make a name for himself, you know, more than just from OVW, but Mike Mondo, and we can talk to him about the, you know, the Spirit Squad and some of the stuff he went through up there, and then his regeneration, which has taken place in Ohio Valley and now in Ring of Honor. So we'll throw it to break right now and then be back on with him talking about this Sunday's Best in the World right after this.
Hi, this is Frank Beard of ZZ Top for Rad. If you're out partying and drinking, and we all know that happens sometimes, please don't get behind the wheel. Give up the keys to a designated driver. Please don't drink and drive.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hey, parents, it's hard to pick up your kids nowadays without embarrassing them.
Hi, honey.
Mom, not in front of my friends.
Well, kiss the embarrassment goodbye with OMGPS. OMGPS is a state-of-the-art navigation system that tells you exactly how far away you need to park when you pick up your kids.
Keisha at mall. Proceed to outer food court.
But she's not at the food court. She's at the movie theater.
Exactly. OMGPS comes with patented preteen reasoning technology to pinpoint precise pickup locations and minimize embarrassment.
In 100 yards, turn off the oldies music.
Thanks, OMGPS.
OMGPS is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? What happened in Columbus on my birthday? Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Hey, I'm Bonnie Raitt. Remember how excited you were as a kid to go back to school at the end of the summer? Seeing old friends, making new ones, getting new books in a new locker, a clean slate. And music class, that special room where you went to sing and perform with your friends and learn all sorts of interesting stuff about great composers and instruments and different kinds of music. We remember our music teachers because they were so passionate about helping us learn to love music. They helped spark a love for listening to notes and voices and rhythms that continues to enrich our lives even today. Know what? I bet your kids feel the same way about music class. Ask them. And make sure they get involved with music in school this year.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting in the forest.
Uh-huh.
One second I'm having a smoke. Next thing I know, I'm face-to-face with Smokey Bear.
Wow.
And he told me it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
Did you know 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous and you're not. Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
All right, we're back here on Ringside Wrestle. Legendary Les Thatcher, joined by me, Mike Sempervivi, and we'd like to welcome on the line right now a man who, if he's not on this coming Sunday's ROH Best in the World Hostage Crisis pay-per-view emanating from New York, I'm going to personally riot in my own house. Ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, man. What's going on, man?
Mr. Mike Mondo. Mike, how are you doing tonight?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Well,
I could be a little bit better, you know. I've been under a lot of stress as of late, but, you know, just taking it day at a time and just kind of going with the flow right now. I'm kind of curious to see kind of what happens, you know.
Now, I talked to you about 2 months ago, I think, on the OVW show, and I got to be, I'm surprised at the level that you have taken off in Ring of Honor. I got a chance to go to the tapings in Baltimore when you faced off against TJ Perkins, and you, much like a couple guys, Bob Evans and Mike, there's been a couple guys that have come into ROH and been able to shake things up and really add some needed value to that show. And, again, you're not scheduled for the iPay-per-view coming up here this weekend, but you're coming off that big draw against Roderick Strong, or, I'm sorry, Davey Richards in West Virginia this past weekend. Are we going to see you this coming Sunday?
See, I don't know, man. I can't really, you know, it's funny, just before you called me, I actually left I promised my fans an update, and I delivered on that. I posted it on my Twitter. If you go to Mike Mondo 83, that's my Twitter name. There's a nice little message from my fans there. You know, but I can just talk about it real briefly if you want right now. You know, pretty much I left Louisville and got a phone call, you know, pretty much about 3 hours into my drive. And just want to say it was, you know, corporate, so to speak. And informing me that, you know, I'm not needed for the, you know, my services aren't needed for the pay-per-view. And I kind of was like, you know, what? I thought, you know, but everything was set and everything. And it just really took me for a loop. I didn't really call me off. They called me off. I didn't know what to say, you know. And I felt so many emotions at once, you know. It was like a dream going in slow motion, you know. I mean, I was pissed out. I mean, you might as well just take a knife and put it through me, you know. I mean, New York's my hometown. I mean, you know, I've been wrestling now for 11 years. I wrestled everywhere in New York where I wanted to wrestle. I wrestled the National Coliseum. I wrestled the Madison Square Garden. I did the Elks Lodge, which I'm sure a lot of fellow wrestlers out there can relate to. It's a very special place to wrestle. I did the Manhattan Center on the second floor, but I never did the Hammerstein Ballroom, and that's on the bottom floor. As a kid, went to a lot of concerts there, too many. Can't even probably count. Can't tell you who I saw. I saw certain concerts there, and I also saw my first pro wrestling live event there, you know? So I always just wanted to have that little closure, you know, just for myself. And I don't know. I mean, I've been trying to call them. I'm just not getting any feedback right now. And it's kind of like playing roulette right now. We'll see what happens, you know.
See, and will any news on coming to the TV tapings, at least in Baltimore, coming up on the 29th? Because again, for those who, you know, they probably, a lot of people listening obviously remember you from your WWE days and the Spirit Squad days, but you went back to OVW, you retooled, you got refreshed, and you came into, I was surprised when you came into Ring of Honor and you had that match, and everybody was kind of like blown away by it, but it was just like, you know, I guess, you know, the people kind of forget quickly sometimes, and they were surprised when you came back, and you've been one of the guys who have come in and really kind of, again, with your unique style, you're just, you come again, you know, you're the biggest man around, and it's actually showing and people are taking to that. Any news on the Baltimore show or anything like that? And frankly, just in the way you've been able to kind of reinvent yourself, get better, Bob Evans actually said you're going to be working on your tan and your body more, which I didn't think either one of those things could possibly happen and look any better. How are you feeling about going forward with ROH?
Well, man, just to handle all that in a nutshell, you know, when I first came into ROH, I knew it was going to be a challenge right off the bat. You know, there was no secret to that. You know, of course, me being with WWE and the fans recognizing that, they're gonna not make it easy for me, and they did. But you know what? I know I can win them over. Because I know I'm good. I mean, I know I'm great at what I do. And I'm not saying that in a cocky way. I'm saying in a confident way, you know. You know, I decided to reinvent my whole look. I didn't want to look nothing like how I wanted to be in the WWE. And I tried to think of just something that where I was like, okay, what is something that's just going to be like, you know, if I walk down the street and you know, they're going to take that second look, you know. I mean, I'm not 6'5", so they're not going to do that. I'm, you know, 5'7", but I got to make myself stand out. I got to make myself unique. And I don't really think anyone really knows what I really put into my line of work. I mean, if I told you, you would probably wouldn't believe me, but I really do nothing but what do I got to do next to get to that next level? What do I got to do to stand out? You know, because wrestling's what I know. I mean, that's what I do. And that's all I really know how to do, at least as far as from a passion standpoint. You know, there's nothing else I want to do. I'm constantly watching tape. I'm constantly studying different styles. You know, you mentioned about the breakout match. That match is actually against Matt Taven. You can't even, man, there's no way, I guarantee you, from the locker room to the fans, that they would have expected to see that match. And, you know, I told Matt, I was like, look, we're at the end of the third out of fourth TV taping. I go, they're going to see it all. You know, they're going to see the stars that they're used to seeing, you know, once, possibly twice. I go, we need to pull something out of our ass today, pretty much. And, you know, I was pretty much 98% sure that no one was going to do this, but I was going to keep an eye on the matches just to make sure, and, you know, I was correct on my assumption. And I told him, I'm like, today is no time, you know, and you know, obviously, you know, professional way, but I go, don't be afraid to freaking give it back, because, I mean, I'm bringing it to you, you know, I mean, this ain't, I hate using that phrase, you know, because everyone says, but, you know, we brought it, you know, we brought it, and obviously the fans responded to it, and that was the moment when I think people kind of opened their eyes a little bit, and they're like, oh, wait a minute, okay, there's something here, you know. And now, you know, because before that, it was still just steady. But that one match with Matt Taven, I believe that was the match, in my opinion, in which, you know, that was finally like, oh, okay, you know, kind of opened their eyes a little bit. And then TJ and I have tremendous matches together. I think I have about four of them with him now. Great wrestler. You know, very versatile. And that's the thing about me that I take pride on is I can work anybody, any style. You can be a veteran, work a match, and I'll make you look like you've been working for 5 years. And again, I'm saying in a confident way. I believe in myself, you know. I believe that, you know, you can put me in a ring with anybody, and I will get whatever job that you want to get out, get done. And, I mean, that's what I do. I'm just confident in my craft. I constantly practice on my promos. I got the iPhone, so it's got the flip screen. So I'll be driving, you know, if I know that, you know, the highway is empty. And I'll just pick a random wrestler and the topic in my head. And I'll just cut a promo and chill, whatever, you know. And then and then I'll watch my promo back when I'm driving. And I'll cut another one, you know. And I eat, sleep, and breathe the business. You know, I love the business. I've come to terms with myself last week. I even said, you know what, if it comes down to it, because in reality, you know, it's hard to, with the relationship, you know, to understand exactly what we do. You know, it didn't work out the last two times for me. But if it came down to, you know, if I chose, you know, wrestling or give up wrestling and live that, you know, lifestyle, you know, with married or whatever, I would choose wrestling, and I mean, I would be mad at the business, you know, because I can't see myself doing anything else. You know, in order to be really, truly successful, I believe you have to have a passion. You know, there's guys, SCW, that they just pick up, you know, I'm not downing on them, you know, don't know half the names of so many of the guys, but, you know, if you don't have that passion, and you don't have that drive, and you're in it for the money or for stardom, You don't have a chance, man. You don't, you know. You might think you do, but eventually your colors are going to come through. And I'm not saying it's for everybody, but I'm saying it's for the majority, you know. It's an art form. It takes great skill, great timing to be good. You know, I can put that guy off the street and have to kick you as hard as I want in the head, but can you kick that guy and barely touch him and make it look like he just railed him? That's takes talent, you know, and I think there's very few guys out there that can do that. And it's that's what I love most about professional wrestling, in my opinion. It's the art form. I believe, and there's a quote from Dr. Thomas, like, wrestling's like ice cream. I don't know if you ever heard that term before, but, you know, some like vanilla, some like strawberry, some like chocolate. Everyone prefers different flavor, but in the end, it's all ice cream, you know, and it's like you can paint your own picture however way you want it, just in my opinion, as long as it makes sense and it tells a story, and, you know, you're going to finish where you get down at the highest, you know, and I'm able to identify, I like this guy, I don't like this guy, you know. I'm not really a fan of, like, scrambled egg matches. You kind of don't know what the hell is going on, but it's all about suspending your disbelief. That's the whole point of the art of wrestling. You know, you go to a movie, you see the Rocky movie. You're paying a ticket, you know the movie's not real, but for some reason, everyone at the end is cheering Rocky. And they go see it five more times after that. Why? Because they were emotionally invested in the product that they, you know, they paid to see. And that's exactly just like wrestling. You know, now, I mean, nowadays anyway, I mean, with WWE, it says entertainment right there on the banner. So you're pretty much telling everybody, not that it's a secret anymore, but if you're good, you can get people emotionally involved, even though they go, oh, I know that's not real, that's not real. And then before you know it, they're off their seat. Well, you must have something big, you know. I mean, and that's what takes talent.
Well, Mike, who are the ones for you? Who are the ones from back in the day for you? Who got you emotionally involved growing up, and how did you become such a passionate follower?
Well, honestly, my childhood hero, the reason why I wanted to be a wrestler from the get-go, was Bret the Hitman Hart. He was my idol. You know, I'd be young, I'd make my own Bret Hart outfit and wrestle the Hulk Hogan wrestling dummy. But then as I got older, Bret Hart was always my favorite. You know, I was always loyal to Bret Hart. But then, you know, Shawn Michaels came into the mix. And I consider Shawn Michaels the greatest overall performer. He could do anything. He could fly. He can wrestle. He can fight. He can talk. He's got the charisma. You know, he's got the total package deal. You know, and I consider him, you know, greatest all around of all time. You know, because I mean, you got other guys that are great, that are strong at certain things maybe, but they're horrible at other things. You know, so it's really tough to have that total overall package. And Shawn really inspired me. I learned a heck of a lot from Shawn Michaels. He's one of the guys I really, really learned. And I asked a lot of questions when I was on the road with him. We were working with him. And then the guy was Ric Flair. Ric Flair taught me a lot, too. And Ric Flair, he told me, he's really intense in there. And he kind of really brought kind of the intensity out of me. You know, when you're talking, when you're hanging out with him, you wouldn't think so. But when that red light goes on, man, it makes your boy just freaking, he turns it right up. And I never, I'm going to forget one time he just stuck his freaking hand in my mouth and pulled me in the corner. And, you know, in a working way, of course. And he just started, you know, boom, boom, and then, come on, let's go, you know. And it's like, fuck, man, it's a flare. All right, you know, you for a second believe you are a real fight. just for a second, you know. But, I mean, yes, that's why. I mean, he's one of the greatest ever. So, you know, Flair really taught me a lot. I mean, all those guys really taught me a lot. I mostly learned timing, positioning, because, you know, there's such a large crowd. So, of course, you know, we were the learners, you know, so we just listened. And they would tell us, no, not yet, okay, now, you know, okay, let's do it. We're at this point, we can go, you know, and it was just, it was a great, great, great learning experience. And I honestly, when all that was said and done, I believed I was such more sound, confident, more, just overall rounded, better worker because of that experience. And, you know, totally didn't before I went to WWE, so that's a fact, you know, I mean, just mentally, and that's what really, inspired me. I mean, even like when I watch tapes now, I still like to watch a lot of Mr. Perfect, you know, 1992, 1991, I love the way Mr. Perfect sells. I don't think, you know, I mean, between him and Shawn, it's like that to me, it's awesome. I mean, it felt differently, but, like, I mean, Mr. Perfect, he can just he just moves different, you know. It's different way in how he moves. Everyone's their own different identity, and you know, Mr. Perfect can be intense when he wants to be intense and bring it to you. When it's time to be a chick and shit, you know, and sell his ass off for you. I mean, he's boom, spot on all the time. I love watching him. And I've been actually getting into a lot lately is the World Class, you know, with Johnny Saint, a world of sport, you know. And I really am a fan of that because I'm a big fan of the innovation. And that's what with Ring of Honor, where I'm at right now, is I really dig the innovation because I feel like everyone kind of pushes each other. You know, because you're always seeing something different. You're always seeing something new. So it's just a different challenge, and I like challenges. You know, I like guys that will push me. And because, you know, I believe, whether the statement's true or whether the statement's not, but I believe I am the best out there. I mean, yeah, definitely an arguable statement. There's a lot of great wrestlers out there. But, you know, I believe I have that total package. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I can talk, I can bump, I can cut a promo, I can make anybody look good, I can make myself look good, I can get over. I want the ball. Give me the ball. I'm starving right now for the ball. You know, I tell them all the time, I was like, you know, my arms are open for the handoff. Just, I want the opportunity, you know, and it's a pleasure working with, you know, Kevin Kelly. He's been really helpful there with me with Ring of Honor. You know, I asked him some questions about promos, and we talked for 30 minutes, you know, and that was my homework for the, you know, for the next. Well, actually, I did it 2 days later, but he gave me something to focus and concentrate on until I see him again next time. You know, Jim Cornette, enough said. You know what I mean? Right there, best promo in the business. You never hear him stutter once. And I mean, it's just it's awesome. You know, I mean, we got great t-shirts there, and the beauty is you never stop learning. So even if it's something little, something small, you, I mean, you always find something new, and you're always learning, and it's great. I love it.
Les?
I'm still here. Mike's cutting a good promo. What can I say? Mike, you mentioned earlier about going to the next level. In regard to that, I saw where you're going to help Corny with the tryouts for Ring of Honor. You want to talk a little bit about what you guys are going to be looking for?
Well, we've done semi tryouts, me and Jim, before with OVW in the past. And, you know, pretty much you can take anybody and teach them how to do moves. You know, I mean, moves realistically are the easy part. It's what we do with the psychology of when and, you know, the right time to do the moves. You know, there's a difference between being a great wrestler and a great worker. You know, they're totally two different terminologies. But really what we're looking for are guys that are in shape, guys that are athletic, you know, are they passionate? Is there something they really want to do? How far are we willing to do, or how far are they willing to go and push themselves to achieve that dream or at least an opportunity? You know, I mean, when I got fired from WWE in 2008, it took me 5 years, what, 4 years to get another opportunity. That was a long time. So, you know, chances are a dime a dozen. So what are they willing to do? How bad do they want it? You know, can they talk? Can they cut a heel promo? Can they cut a babyface promo? Do they have any wrestling background, sport background? If they have any amateur background, what can they do in there? And we're just pretty much looking for potential. And, yeah, pretty much, I mean, in a nutshell. And if they have any prior wrestling experience, of course, we want to see what they know is from. Again, when we tell guys all the time, they go, because I'm one guy, he just did like a freaking 585, whatever the number is called. Not 450, but something higher than that. But it's like, we're not, you know, that's great, you can do it. But we're not looking for that. We're just telling you that. Because we want to see how you tell a story, whether it's a headlock, with an arm, your footwork, your transitioning, how you hit the ropes, how you bump. Because, do you have any charisma? We're looking for that too, because that's one thing you can't teach. Either you have charisma or you don't. You know, for a while, that was hard for me for a while. I was a stutter, I'll admit that. But, you know, eventually as I just got older and I got more experience, you know, because it's just every day for me, at, you know, for a while at one point. and there was so much. It's just getting coming out of your shell. Once you find yourself and you turn yourself up times 10, you know, that makes you who you are. Like when you see me on Ring of Honor, no fear, Mike Mondo, you know, as weird as it sounds, that's who I am, kind of, in a way. You know, I mean, you know, I don't get really mad or pissed off often, but just when I do get to that point, you know, I get really, I'm a very intense individual. When I play football, you know, I never had to wrestle, but I was always about smashing up football and just with the drilling, you know, and freaking, you know, what you saw is what you get. And I'm all about intensity. My body is, I've been a power lifter since I was in ninth grade under guidance, you know, so I mean, that just tells you why I look the way I look. I do all clean, natural, you know, so that's serious. But, and that's another thing, too, and that's why I'm really concentrating on my body, too, is that, you know, I was like, well, if I'm not the tallest, I'm going to be the tannest, and I'm going to be the jack. And that's why, you know, I say I'm just the tannest. It's one of my little things there, you know. So, yeah.
So well, how important is the conditioning aspect? How important is the conditioning aspect? Well, how important is the conditioning aspect? Because I know Les is big on it, and, you know, we've talked to a lot of guys where it's, you know, they think that sometimes they're the biggest guys in the world, but you actually have them do some things, and you test some of their stamina and their conditioning at a lot of these tryouts, and they just don't have any at all. How important is it to come in to impress with, you know, looking not only looking good, but having enough air to actually go longer than a minute and a half?
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is to kind of find your balance, you know, because it's like, you know, guys can get jacked up to like 350, but then they can't move, you know. I actually figured out for myself, I had to lose 7 pounds. It's not that my stuff was bad, but I wasn't moving. I didn't have that extra little snap to me, or I wasn't, you know, as agile. So I had to, you know, just take a few pounds off, and now it's like I'm like a ping pong ball again. So, I mean, everyone individually is different. It's just, you know, how you're comfortable. You know, you don't have to be, as long as you look like an athlete, that's good enough. You know, you want to look like that you could, if it were a real fight, that you could hold your own. You know, you don't have to have 8 abs. You know, there's no set rule on how you have to look. But if you look like an athlete and you can get as deep and as lean, but still do what you do, then that's perfect, you know. So, but that really all depends on the individual, I think.
You were mentioning the charisma earlier, and I think a lot of the young kids today get the cart before the horse, and they think all they got to do is, you know, climb the ropes, throw their fists in the air, wave their arms, make faces, and I'm a wrestler, and they don't realize that they actually should learn to actually work before they worry about the charisma.
Oh, absolutely,
part of it.
You know. Yeah, and a lot of times, because you know, I trained a lot of guys too. I mean, I did OVW's beginners class. I was a trainer with SCW with Dr. Tom. I helped with the contract class, also in SCW and also in OVW. So, I mean, I've had experience with working with a lot of guys, even agenting matches and stuff. And you know, and I'm lucky for that. That was a great experience. Because even when you're teaching guys, you're still kind of teaching yourself, because you kind of see the mistakes, and you review yourself subconsciously pretty much. But yeah, I mean, a lot of guys, and it annoys the hell out of me, but they always go, well, my gimmick is this, or my gimmick is that. Quit worrying about what you are, or, you know, learn how to tie up, learn how to circle. Learn how to take an arm, learn how to take a head, take a guy over, get it again, tackle, get it again, 2 tackles, you know, and get the fundamentals down first. The fundamentals of professional wrestling, in my opinion, are the most important part of the aspect. Once you get the fundamentals down, then we can work on, you know, a little bit bigger. Then we go to a hip toss, to an arm drag, to a body slam. And it's not how, you know, pretty or how well, you know, but the most important thing is safety, because the number one thing when you your opponent is you're pretty much trusting each other with each other's lives. Because you can easily just drop the guy and kill him, you know? But a lot of guys, you're right, they want to put the cart before the horse, you know? And another big thing I see a lot of guys is, and you know, I was guilty of two or one time, is patience. You don't want to run business overnight. You know, as far as I know, from what I was told, the only guy that learned really this business overnight was Kurt Angle in 6 months. And Kurt Angle is a far and few between, obviously, you know. But it's good to see that hunger. But, you know, I tell him, look, you're 20 years old, man. Trust me, Jim, you're way, you know, and I can tell with some of them, you're way more ahead of the game than I was at 20. I go, just relax, you know. They all want to get to WrestleMania tomorrow, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of times they don't realize that you get, sometimes, like I said before, chances are way far and few in between. You know, you may only get one chance. And I remember when we met with Vince, you know, John Moratti picks up the elevator and he's like, yo, you know, one time, made a first impression. Like, oh, yeah. But at that time, I was so overprepared and confident that I was like, you know, I wasn't worried at all. And even when we wrestled Shawn Michaels, when it was 4-on-1, Ted DiBiase, he's just like, well, that's the first match. You only get one time to make first impression. It's like, how many times do we hear this, you know? But it's true. And because that one perception at the very beginning, you know, you never know. Because, you know, it's like, that's how wrestling is, like my story earlier. You know what I mean? Now, sometimes, you know, they get that first impression and they say, all right, that kid's got it or that kid doesn't have it. And if you got it, they'll give you another chance. And if you don't got it, well, maybe you'll get a second or you can sit back down to developmental. Or you think you did a great job, but then next thing you know it, boom, you're freaking fired, just like that. You know, I mean, that's just, it sucks and it's sad, but that's, you know, that's just how it is. So, you know, you want to be over-prepared when you get the opportunity, when the situation arrives. You know, you want to be able to do anything that they ask at any given time, heel, baby face, you know, work, promo, both aspects, and, of course, excel the best you can. Just do the best you can. You know, and that's all you can do. That's all you can ask of yourself. Do the best you can, and you know, of course, you know, I always tell them, make sure you have fun. Because if you're not having fun, you know, you should be doing it. I tell people all the time, the day I retire is the day I stop having fun. You know, so I think that's really important as far as you know, that sort of stuff too.
Talking about watching video too and going back and watching a lot of the older stuff, do you watch anything from across the world currently now, or do you tend to go back into the archives and see the guys who were mastering things in the territorial days?
Honestly, man, I watch everything, you know. I really do. Like I said earlier, I'm on a big British wrestling kick. I really, really enjoy watching the innovation chain wrestling and actually the rounds. I want to do a match where they have two rounds again. You know, I mean, I think that was cool. It's different. You know, it's old is new again. you know, I like the Japanese style too. You know, it's pretty different. And you know, of course, just style. You know, I mean, that's where I'm most comfortable. You know, because that's where I've had the most experience and whatnot. But you know, I just love wrestling, you know, and I can just watch any of it at any time. And it doesn't matter what it is, really. You know, if it's wrestling, I'm cool with it. You know.
Left?
Man.
Oh, no, maybe we'll have left there.
Easy.
Oh, okay.
You're me.
Well, Mike, no, I just want to see if Les had any more for you. And again, unfortunately, you will not be on this iPay-per-view here coming up this Sunday for Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
But what do you have planned? Obviously, you talked a little bit about the training camps, but how can people keep up with you? And what do you have going on just going around besides Ring of Honor?
All right, hang on 1 second. I'm going to plug in my phone so I don't get disconnected and I can answer that.
See, you need the technical difficulties come from our side.
Well, yeah, I heard my phone beep in, and I was like, "Oh no, my phone's about to die." That's not good. Okay, now we're good now, though. No problem. So, pretty much, what are my plans? You said going forward, other than Ring of Honor.
Well, yeah, what you got going on right now? How can people keep up with you? You know, as far as Twitter and the whole nine yards.
Besides the Twitter, I mean, again, Mike Mondo 83, I like to interact. I like to keep in touch with my fans. You know, I actually have a fan site. A friend of mine runs for me. It's mike-mondo.net. You can keep up with me on the Ring of Honor website and Facebook, facebook.com/mikemondo. Those are the main places where you can keep in touch with me and know where I'm at or what I'm doing. If I'm not working for Ring of Honor, I do a lot of motion capture with the video games, actually, out in San Diego and Los Angeles. But that's usually 6 months out of the year. And, of course, you know, I do some independence here and there also. So, I mean, I keep myself busy, keep myself going. As long as I'm just, you know, I'm doing what I love to do. And, you know, but honestly, like, my main focus right now is Ring of Honor. You know, and I told everybody there, I mean, they pretty much know where I stand. I mean, like, I talked with Kevin, I talked with Jim, I talked with Hunter, I talked with even Terry Stokin. I was just like, you know, I want to be your next guy, you know, because, I mean, Claudio's gone, Priscilla's gone, you know, Tyler Black, he's gone. So a lot of opportunities opened up. And, you know, I know, and I like the challenge, you know, because at first it was tough, and I knew it was going to be tough. But, you know, I believe that if I can go with the gear, you know, and at the beginning of that year, you know, they really didn't give a crap about me. And if I can go at the end of the year, you know what I mean, and they're, you know, chanting, they're doing, you know, almost kind of like embraced me and took me in, so to speak. You know, to do that within a year is really hard and tough, and I think that explains a lot about your ability, you know, and character. And that's kind of like my challenge and my goal, and I want to, you know, and there's a lot of great wrestlers, and I really believe I can have a lot of great matches with a lot of guys. And another little secret goal of mine is that on a mainstream level, you know, I've never been a world champion. You know, everyone thought I was too small all the time. And, you know, there's nothing that gives me more satisfaction than proving people wrong and showing them right up their ass. But just for the fact of, you know, you know, they say, you know, anybody can be the champion. Yeah, but you know what? You put 11 years into this industry, okay? You work your ass off. You know, you work hurt, you work injured. There's hurt and injured. You travel all around the world. You pay your dues, you know? So when the company, you know, wants to put the belt on you, it's like almost like they trust you, the company, like you're that guy. You're carrying the company, you know? And that's something I haven't got to do yet, and on a mainstream level, and that's something that I want to accomplish, and that's something I'm really focusing on. And, you know, every time I go out there, especially in Ring of Honor, I go out there like it's my last match. I always leave my heart in the ring, you know, give it my best. And that's all you can do, is give it your best, you know. And then I go home, and it's back to the drawing board. Okay, what's one thing that I can do that they've never seen before, you know? And that's what I do. That's how I try to stand out, you know. Every guy wants the same. You can only want to see a movie so many times, you know. Sometimes you want a comedy, you want an action, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? You want variety. Well, Mike Mondo is variety, because when you see me in the ring, you can't predict me. I guarantee it. But, yeah, I just try to get something different, you know. But I always like to give them that one, whoa, you see that one coming, you know. So.
Hey, look, my 4-year-old son, when we went to the taping, got his first chance to see the threat of a man's eye being bitten out by you, sir. So you gave him one of his memories.
Well, I'm still waiting for my match with Guru Bob Evans. I'm waiting for him to accept my challenge. He's been going after he's in the ring now. He's been going after Ernie Edwards. So I'm like, is he talking my challenges home? You know? Actually, me and Bob, in all seriousness, we're doing a seminar next Wednesday, 27th, I want to say. Well, not this Wednesday, next Wednesday, whatever that day is. It's $25 a head, and whoever's in the Northeast area. And we'll be going 6 to 10 p.m. at, you get a Bob and get the info, but it's something PAL. But I'm going to be heading down there. Bob's going to be there, and we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to learn. We're going to work hard. And you'll definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, get $25 worth of plenty of and more of knowledge. You know, so we take pride in what we do. And Bob is a very passionate individual, and I respect the hell out of him. He's like a big brother, you know, of mine. And it's so funny. I feel like I've known him for years, but really I've only known him for like maybe like a year and a half, 2 years now. So, but he's just he's what you kind of wish everybody was in wrestling. He's just a good genuine human being, you know. So, little Bob Evans, ladies and gentlemen.
So you two guys seem to be upsetting the apple cart there in Ring of Honor and stirring things up. And you know, I don't know with your schedule when we can have you back on, but we'd love to have you back on soon, man.
Sure, man. It's my pleasure, bro. Seriously, I had a lot of fun talking. I love just talking about the business, you know. Again, like I said, I mean, this is my life. It's what I do, you know. If you're serious and you want to learn, I can sit and just chit-chat until whatever, you know. I like talking about it, you know. I like the other people's aspects and opinions, you know, because sometimes it gives me a light bulb or something else, you know. It's got to be some energy. It's, like I said, you can do wrestling, you can do anything you want, as long as it makes sense, in my opinion. That's the beauty of it. So, everyone out there, you'll follow me. Make sure you follow me on Twitter. It'll be good for your health. I'm sure you're curious what I'm doing first thing in the morning, you know. Check out my message too, because I told my fans what's going on, you know, kind of just got a little passionate, but you know, sometimes you gotta speak from the heart. It's real. But we'll see what happens.
Now we'll link to it too on ringsiderap.com as well, Mike. And again, man, it was great talking to you. And hopefully, they come to their senses, give you the phone call for Sunday. But if not, I want to see you in Baltimore on the 29th, man. I'd like to thank you very much. And everybody, we'll be right back on Ringside Wrap.
Thanks for being with us,
thank
Mike.
You guys. My pleasure.
Nancy O'Dell here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, then it becomes everybody's business. So please plan ahead. Call a cab or designate a driver before the party starts. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Red Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Hi, I'm Bruce Hornsby. You know the expression, practice makes perfect? Well, it certainly is true in music. And practicing music is one of the most valuable ways a student can spend his time, or her time. A young person who studies music reinforces teamwork, communication skills, self-discipline, and creativity, all qualities kids need to be successful in their other schoolwork. Parents, think about encouraging your kids to try out several instruments at school until they find the one that they really like, the one that really clicks for them. Get to know the school's music teacher and encourage your child to join school music ensembles. And please don't forget that your kids all have an instrument that's free and sounds wonderful, their voices.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back here on Ringside Wrap. Mike Sempervivi, along with the legendary Les Thatcher. You know what, Les? If Mike Mondo could just show a little bit of enthusiasm, he might go places.
Yeah, you never know.
It is. I tell you, it's the passion for someone like him, too. Again, because we talked about Doan earlier, and he could have. You know, after the Spirit Squad, and again, you know, for those who have never seen the guy, Mike Mondo is not a tall, massive human being by any means, and always being told he was too small, and he could have packed it up and quit, but said he goes home back to OVW and trying to be a new face and do some new things in Ring of Honor, which I think is needed, and they've made some grand improvements, I think, that way. With the world's greatest tag team, and Bennett, Maria, and Brutal Bob as a combination. And again, to bring in fresh blood is not too bad at all. But, you know, it's hard to actually end a conversation with Mondo, but I had to because I wanted to leave some, you know, more than enough room to talk about a few different things, including, you know, something that you have coming up and has been hinting at here for a little while. And Les, the project you're going to be involved with, would you like to talk a little bit about it and let us know what's going on?
Yeah, we can do that. I've signed on with Wrestling Cares Association, WCA, which is the brainchild of David Jackson. We've been talking, David and I have just actually met physically and got to know one another in Vegas during CAC, but we've been talking since gosh, I guess February, about this project. David's background is in fundraising for charitable and nonprofit organizations. One of the things that he was involved with extensively was the New York Fine Arts Committee and things like that. So anyway, I feel this is a little unique, a little different in as much as the concept, and that was one of the things that interested me. So I have signed on as the let me get my title straight here. I'm still new at this too. I'm the director of creative production and talent, and the company will be based in California, in the Los Angeles area. We have yet to find a building. We don't even have a website up yet. In fact, the artwork for our logo we probably won't see until later this week. But the whole concept, Mike, is that we will run 6 shows a year, hopefully beginning in January of 13. And those 6 shows will be an ongoing tournament. and the tournament will conclude in December, and we'll crown a champion. Now, we will obviously use some wrestlers from California, from from out west, but we hope to bring some fresh talent from the East Coast, the Northeast, the Southeast, Midwest, that haven't been exposed in that area. We obviously, want to use some fresh faces. We want guys who are in Mike was mentioning about the trials for RH, where guys are in shape, guys who can work, guys understand how to tell a story. Am I looking for the next Nigel McGuinness, Jamie Noble? I hope so. Brian Danielson, a talent like that. And the whole thing is, each one of these shows will be for a different charity. And nice. And so, David, we're in the process of contacting charities, and it will be set up in that respect. Now, this tournament will be the main focal of each show, but yet we will, have tag matches. We will have some of the better independent ladies in the business today. Hopefully we expose some talents that haven't had, any type of national exposure. But toward that point, as I do these camps, I'm also going to be, looking for talent. Now, obviously, we want to get some depth and flexibility with guys we're going to be able to use. Toward that, I'm just talked today about possibly in late July, early August, of doing a weekend camp in North Carolina. I'll have more details on that as we go. I'm definitely going to Edmonton, Alberta in September for Vance Nevada to look at his work. I think the dates are penciled in right now for 14th, 15th, and 16th of September in Edmonton. I'll have, again, all the details as we get this stuff locked in will be on the EPWT site, as we don't have the WCA site up as yet. But while I'm doing these camps, we're also going to be looking at talent to bring. We'd like to bring, talent in out of Canada as well. Now, each one of the participants in this tournament will represent their home promotion. So it's not like we're not planning on going in competition with anybody on the West Coast. That's not the idea, But this is how we intend to run this. And as well, once there's a building selected and it's renovated, we will, probably be starting a school there as well. Now, I'm not going to mention the name yet, but it would be a name that everyone would recognize immediately. I'm obviously going to be the coordinator, and I'll also spend time on the West Coast. I'm not moving. My home's still going to be right where it's at, but I will be spending time out there. But the guy we've got in mind, if we can work it out to put in place as the head trainer, will, I think, be very acceptable to anybody that's looking to learn professional wrestling. The style of training, I like to say it's not the old way or the new way, but the right way. If you've seen the professional wrestlers work out an instructional guide, which was written by Harley Race, Ricky Steamboat, myself, and Alex Marvez, basically that is the type of training. EPWT, Elite Pro Wrestling Training, was founded by Harley, Ricky, and myself a number of years ago. And the style or the system that is used or was used or will be used was a combination of the three of us, along with Tom Pritchard, Terry Taylor, Tully Blanchard, Tracy Smothers, different guys that had worked with us at these different camps, and we picked up, bits and pieces across the board. So anyway, that's kind of the long and the short of it. As I say, we're just getting this ball rolling. David and I just come to an agreement just a week ago on my involvement. And so I'm excited about it. It's obviously going to be a challenge. We hope to offer a family-friendly product. We want to bring some strong talent to the West Coast that hasn't been out there currently. We obviously want to use wrestlers out there. Toward that end, I'm going to spend some time out there. We're going to take in some independent shows I already know some. I've already talked to some talent. And as we set up our website and as we grow closer to this kickoff date, we'll obviously, you know, start listing the wrestlers who will be involved in the first two rounds of tournament. What we're looking at now is doing probably a two-nighter, do the first two rounds in January, and then from that point on, every 2 months, continue the tournament. And David's got some unique ideas he wants to do in terms of fan involvement during the shows. He's a sharp young businessman, and I was very impressed with him from the, you know, from the get-go. And so he's going to be handling that end of it, and I'm going to be a consultant in terms of everything involving wrestling and basically, you know, picking the talent out and handling, you know, that end of it. So like I say, it's going to be a challenge. I'm excited. It's something I haven't gotten deeply involved in, you know, in the last few years, but I'm ready to roll my sleeves up, Mike, and go to work on it.
Well, Les, you talk about David, the charitable events that he puts on. A lot of people probably, I guess a lot of people listening to this show will certainly know it, but maybe some newer fans don't realize from the territorial days, charitable events and events that were put on where you call your local wrestling group and you do fundraisers and things like that. Obviously, it's a little bit different with this scenario, but can you call upon that knowledge as far as, you know, you running shows like that, or can you recall anything that you'll be able to draw on to kind of help with, because this is going to be obviously a unique situation for him, really. Your knowledge as far as, you know, making things like this happen and coordinating it together, is that going to come into play?
Well, I hope so. I ran four little shows called the Pillman Memorials in 98, 99, 2000, and 2001, which were the biggest independent shows in the country each year. So, yeah, I've got a little to draw on, I think. So. But, you know, that's the main thing is, you know, is give the people good wrestling, make the tournament, like I say, that's going to be the forefront. But we'll also work storylines off of other wrestlers. You know, we intend to use the ladies. You know, I mean, it's not just going to be, you know, somebody said, is every match going to be four stars? I don't know. I can't get in the ring. I can always do is lay it out. But you know, you obviously, yes. Am I looking for a Punk, Daniel Bryan type match or Nigel and Dragon? Absolutely. Of course we are. That's, you know, that's exactly what we're looking for. And like I say, you know, I think there's some young talent that hasn't been seen on a national stage or even exposed, you know, and a lot of the young guys from this end of the country or from the Midwest have never ventured to the West Coast. And there's some talent out there that I know that's out there that I've seen that's been on this side of the country that I intend to, you know, to get in contact with and hopefully make use of. And like I say, each one of the wrestlers involved in the tournament will represent their home promotion. So, you know, if it's somebody from Philadelphia that represents CZW, if it's, you know, and that, you know, there might be somebody from Ohio Valley Wrestling, somebody from, you know, one of the Canadian promotions. And you know, so to kind of make it a national, or I guess if you add Canada and international, but, you know, give it a national scope and a national flavor. And
unfortunately, there's not things like that anymore. Now, the Super 8 is kind of but a lot of those events, I mean, they were great springboards for guys like your Kidmans and Danielsons and guys like that. So this sounds like a great idea, you know, in that vein as well.
Well, yeah, you know, and honestly, it was David's idea to run the year-long tournament. And it had not crossed my mind. And the more I thought about it, the more I liked it, you know. And so, you know, and hopefully we'll set up with some, you know, maybe some national charities, some area charities out there. David lives in Manhattan Beach, California currently. And, you know, it will be the build, you know, our facility. That's one of our first chores is to find a building. David actually is coming to Cincinnati to spend a week. We're going to brainstorm here. We're also going down to OVW. So he can get a look at Danny's arena and how that's. So we'll be down there for a show in July, and then we'll go back and watch one of Rip's training sessions. And you know, so we're going to get out and about. And that's the good thing, too, is Dave has been a lifelong fan of wrestling. But he wants to, you know, this is kind of an education for him, too. And I want him to be involved in that way. I mean, he's going to make the trip to Canada when I go up there for the training camp just to observe. And he'll catch as many of those as he possibly can. Of course, he's going to be busy, too, on his end of the country doing stuff. And then, so, you know, if there are any young talents that are, you know, I'd like to see a disc of your good wrestling matches, your background. It's not that we want to cut out the entertainment part. We absolutely do not. We want to make it family friendly, where it's something we bring mom, dad, and the kids, and hopefully maybe even get to the point if the tournament gets really rocking and get some good publicity and good vibes, that you might get some people that'll make the trip, you know, for the finals in December, or come out, for one of the rounds. So, that's what we're looking for. Somebody said, "Well, how big are you?" You know, you never know, Mike. Like I said earlier, you roll up your sleeves and you go to work, and you bust your hump and do the best you can. Did we realize the scope that the Pillman shows would grow to when we did the first one? Absolutely not. We just tried to do the best damn job we could, and of course it takes more than one person. I was the lead guy on that, and it was my dream or my brainstorm or whatever, but I had a lot of help. HWA got to be a national company. I had a lot of help, but it's also a lot of work. When HWA started, I had a promotion because it was a school, not because I wanted to have a promotion. It just, I needed some place for my kids to get a break. And that grew into where it was one of the biggest independents in the country. So, hopefully, we can do the same thing with this company. So I'm excited. It's my passion, as you know, and it's the first time I've had the opportunity to really get immerse myself and do something like this. Of course, the challenge is there as well, So I'm really looking forward to it.
Did you have any reservations or anything with travel or anything like that? Did you kind of like the idea and start to immerse yourself in it? Or do you have any reservations? You know, what goes through your mind after all of this time? And people, I'm sure, have probably offered business deals to you and asked you for things and things like that from over the years. Did you have any reservations about this, and what helped to sell it to you with him? Is it just his passion and his, his vision to do something, and stick it through?
Oh, I'll tell you what, I've had, over the last few years, I've had several people approach me. Hey, I'm thinking about starting a promotion. I'd like you to be a consultant or be the booker, or I'd like you to be the front man, and are you interested? Well, I'm always interested. It's a wrestling business, and that's been my life since I was 19 years old. Of course I'm interested. Then, it falls apart. What are you looking to? Well, I've got $1.98, and I want to start a promotion, or I want to be the star. I want to be the top guy, and right away that sends up the wrong signal for me. But the thing that impressed me initially, David had talked. He had gone to a couple people and said, "I'm looking for somebody that knows pretty much the whole business, to help guide me through this." And Mai was the name that these people came up with. So he had listened to some of the talk shows that I do, and he called me and emailed me first, and then we got on the phone and chatted and everything, and so that kind of set the wheels in motion. The thing that really, I think, sealed it for me and made me realize how serious he was and how deep he wanted to immerse himself in this, Mike, was he emailed me a 37-page business outline, business plan, with demographics of the area, with proposals, with charts. I thought, Jesus, this guy, he's a sharp guy. He's got a degree from New Mexico State and one from Columbia University in New York. And like I say, he's been involved with like the New York Fine Arts Committee in fundraising.
It's not bad to have an Ivy League guy by you.
Beg pardon?
Is it not bad to have an Ivy League guy by you?
No, it's not. That's why I told him, I said, you be the brains and I'll be the brawn. That's or as bronze as I can be at this point in my life. But, yeah, I realized how sincere he was. And then he said, well, let's get together. And actually, when they had that fan fest on the West Coast, it was like we talked, for our first initial conversation was the week before that. He said, well, I can bring you out for this. I said, well, no, let's don't do that because I want to get some stuff on paper and kind of get an outline before we sit down. So we decided on CAC in April. And we talked and emailed back and forth between that time. But when we got to Vegas, we both had notes and we sat down and brainstormed and, we did the whole convention thing and we bonded too. And I think that's important too. We got along. And I realize he's the businessman in this thing, and I'm totally good for that. I that's not part of it that I want to handle anyway. And the other part is, like I say, he doesn't want to be the lead wrestler. He doesn't want to be the top baby. He doesn't want to be the world champion. He just wants to succeed at what he's had a passion for the business. He tried it. He actually tried training a little bit a number of years ago, he told me, and he just realized it wasn't, his cup of tea. But he's been a fan for a long, long time. And so, I think he's got his head, he's got his head in it right. Will there be pitfalls? Yeah. Well, I don't think again, when we started HWA or when we started the Pillman shows, they're out there. You don't sit and dwell on them, and you deal with them as they come up. And sometimes something's presented to you, Mike, that you get an opportunity that other people look at and don't see it as an opportunity. When MTV called me about doing the True Life series, I never hesitated a moment. I would, yes, let's. And as it was, I was lucky that I had the kid out of Chicago who had just visited, and Rory Fox, who had just begun at the, was there, obviously ended up being the star of the show because the other kid washed out. But a couple other promotions had said, well, that's a lot of confusion around my school, or what are you paying? And it never crossed my mind to ask, what are you paying? Because I realized the amount of publicity that every time that show ran on MTV, that was going to afford my company. Tony Atlas was not, they had asked me about, some guys who had been in big stars in the business. And other than Tony, I had named Tony and two other people. And Banks Tarver, who was the director, producer of the whole thing, told me later that one of the other guys was, how much are you paying? And Banks said, well, we're not paying. He didn't see it as an opportunity. Tony did, and I did. And even at that, it was a guy that was helping me around the gym at the time. Would come through the gym cussing, well, I'm tripping over the damn cables and this and that. But I didn't see it that way, And I think that's, like I say, somebody might see something as a negative where there's an opportunity to make it a positive, you do that, And that was a great opportunity for us that other people saw as a pain in the ass, I guess.
Well, I tell you what, and not like you have to laugh last or anything like that, but that's still a show that's aired on the, they have a bunch of the MTV networks now, like everything else, there's sub-channels to everything, and I know it was on not all that long ago, because they do run those True Life marathons and things like that, where, again, the publicity of it is worth more than whatever you'd be getting paid or anything like that. I mean,
right. I said numerous times, Mike, to people, I said, listen, if you stop and think what 30-second commercial cost on MTV, and we were afforded 90 minutes every time that thing ran, stop and think what that would have cost. And that show, that was the only, I am proud to say that we were part of the only 90-minute True Life of the series. We were the only 90-minute segment. Banks had to fight for that. They wanted him to edit it down. He said, I can't tell the story properly if I do. And so his bosses said, okay, well, through first run, whatever they determined that would be, we'll go with a 90. Then you're going to edit it down. But it got such a good response, they never did edit it down. And during the peak, you know, when that thing first started to run, and it was running with God knows how much consistency, it became a joke around the gym because the emails would start coming in and the phone would start to ring, and somebody would say, MTV just went off the air. And basically that was what it was about, you know, people calling to get, you know, get a brochure or send an emails and the same. Well, you know, when 2020, that was a blessing for us as well.
Yeah.
As was MSNBC's special edition. But yeah, well, 2020, when at the end of that, they had Sharkboy and I on, you know, for a, an internet chat, and, we overloaded this, the site, you know, the server went down briefly, and we were only supposed to stay for like, I think 15 minutes. We stayed for an hour and a half, and up until Foley got on later, a few months later or the next year, whatever it was, that was the biggest, you know, reaction that 2020 ABC had had on their net, you know, on their internet chats was that damn segment of, that they did on the Power Plant and us. So, you know, there are, you know, somebody said to me, well, you know, the West Coast is a tough market. Well, you know, I don't know of an easy one. I mean, I honestly don't know of any, you know.
If there's that easy, everybody would be doing it and making money.
Well, sure. Well, you know, yeah, this is, I mean, that's the thing, you know, yeah, if it were, everybody said, well, you know, this particular show didn't draw, or that didn't, you know, no, there's no guarantees, you know, and you're right. If it were that easy, everybody would be rich and, you know, we'd all be living in big mansions. So, you know, are there going to be pitfalls? Obviously, you know, I mean, there'll be obstacles, but we'll meet them and decide at that time, you know, how to deal with them. But ultimately we want to give wrestling fans, you know, bang for their buck, good matches, good storylines, and hopefully, you know, elevate some of the talent front that's on the West Coast and bring some talent out there that hasn't been seen. And, you know, that's our goal. And hopefully, you know, somebody said, well, you don't have your website up and you don't have this and that yet. I said, no. But hopefully as we, you know, as we talk about this, like with you and I tonight, you know, that is, these things develop and we, you know, talk about them occasionally, then that will create interest with not only the fans, but young wrestlers who are looking to be, you know, to get good exposure and to be tutored in the right manner.
You did talk about the true life thing, too. You know, another guy who actually benefited greatly from that show is the UFC's Frankie Edgar, which was one about marriage, but I'm not even kidding, you know, a lot of people out there, you know, they know who he is, but probably didn't know that he got a feature about I'm getting married young, and it was about him getting married to his wife and what he's got to go through, or his wife now, and what he's got to go through, you know, fighting and getting ready for this thing, and even though it concentrated on marriage, it actually carried over where, you know, he became, you know, a lot of his base and a lot of his popularity came from the fact that he was on that show. And,
sure.
It, you know, again, it's like Mondo was talking about earlier, and, like, you know, you're talking about coming up here, too. You never know when you're going to get a chance to make an impression. So be ready for it and take it. And I'm not familiar with the West Coast scene too much. You know, obviously I know Rick Bassman's out there because he's been around there forever. And I know Pro Wrestling Guerrilla has been at least able to carve out a significant niche in the Los Angeles market. I know New Japan had the dojo there for a while with, you know, I think Danielson was there. I think Rocky Romero was there as Puma and a few other guys. So I don't really, and I don't get a chance to see PWG shows. I've seen, you know, matches from them, very few. But, you know, when you have a city of, God knows what, 10 million people or whatever it is, and you have such a diverse group, you know, again, you know, it's at least the possibilities there for, again, these things to go forward. And I know, you know, Mondo talked about a lot of stuff, but one of the things he did is, you know, the things that are old can be new again. And I think with guys like Bob Evans, and hopefully with what you're doing here, and certainly what Lance Storm is doing, what Rip Rogers is doing, what a lot of guys are doing. I know Harley has slowed up some, but, you know, but the guys like that, and, you know, maybe that, what we talk about and lament here every week about it going away, hopefully those things and those puzzle pieces can be built to come back because they obviously have to.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think, too, part of this is getting the, you know, the right buzz or the right exposure in that respect. And that's, you know, I mean, David and I talked about, I mean, you know, we could just, well, we use the guys within a 50-mile radius of the building or, you know what I'm saying, or nobody from further away than a mile and a half or whatever. You know, that's not the idea. This is not, we just don't, it's not the idea to be just another independent promotion. We're not looking to bump heads with any of the other promotions that are established out there. We're not interested in running opposition to Gorilla or NWA Hollywood or anybody like that, you know. It's an entirely different concept, and we know we're, you know, we're only playing six shows a year. I mean, that might change at some point, but right now that's the whole concept because this tournament is the main thing, you know, the underlying, you know, the ongoing theme. And again, we will supplement that. Obviously, when you get down to the finals, you got to have more than two wrestlers on your final. So, you know, we'll bring back, you know, as the guys are exposed and they seem to connect with the crowd and get over, you know, and, you know, work some angles. But I want, you know, I want guys, you know, I want to know that I've got, in, you know, at my disposal. And we always can't use everybody that I'm going to see or everybody that I'm going to like. I mean, that's insane. I don't want to have one of these shows where there's 20 matches or anything like that. I'm not 23-minute matches. But, you know, you want to keep a steady flow. And as a guy gets over and has, you know, you want to bring him back again. So, you know, we want to try to do it right. You know, again, will we make mistakes? I would assume so because we're human. You know, and promotion is trial and error. Good booking is trial and error. There's no such thing as the perfect way, you know. So, but it's, you know, I, again, I'm excited. I mean, I'm fired up to do it. It's, you know, it's the business has always been a challenge in whatever you do, you know. And so hopefully we can step up and make our niche and you know, get some guys exposed and do some good matches and entertain some people and give them some good wrestling.
I tell you what, you know, forgetting about NWA Hollywood, oh, Heather Lynn and Adam Pearce and Carl Anderson and Dave Marquez, don't kill me. I didn't mean to do that, folks. But just to switch gears here for a minute, and I tell you what, I won't talk about the UFC shows, really, other than to say there's the FX show coming up on Friday, and then you have what is the Ultimate Fighter Brazil finale, basically pay-per-view that was supposed to be, not Anderson Silva, but Wanderlei Silva, facing off against Vitor Belfort. They had a good build to that. They were the coaches on the Brazilian version, which Dana White on TV Globo would like to say, like 10 million people, I guess, week saw. It was possible that happened, but Belfort's out of the fight. They called Rich Franklin in. He's going to be taking in, which is a rematch of a fight they've already had. Other than to say that probably the people listening won't be watching either one of those shows, either for free or paying for it on Saturday, it's probably left. We'll take a look at that in hindsight next week. But while we have about 10 minutes left here, TNA, we haven't talked about them this week, although people have in relation to the fact that they put, again, you may not like the stories that they're telling, and there's some hokiness there and some things like that, but they seem to kind of be back on a better path with Bruce Pritchard and with Dave Lagana and some of the other people there who are trying to come back up and hit the reset button for the 9 millionth time for that company. How are you feeling right now about TNA? I know we've talked about
you know, the obvious holes in the goofiness of both the Abyss storyline and the Dixie Carter one, but it seems to be people are taking to those, and they seem to be trying to at least move forward in the proper direction. What are your feelings right now on TNA?
Yeah, I think they're better than they were. Yes, you know, when I say this, gosh, I wish there were 20 companies and all the talented guys and that are around the business were making a lot of money. I truly do. I don't know that, you know, you talk about a restart, another restart, another restart. I don't know if it's too late. You know, I don't know that their numbers are ever going to be any better than they are currently. Now, they drew, I guess, their biggest house in Texas, you know, with this last pay-per-view. But last Thursday, the whole thing where, AJ and Dixie just happened to get in front of a camera to whisper to one another twice on the same show. And yes, and the Abyss, you know, the Joseph Park thing, I think is just, you know. But other than that, they have some good in-ring stuff. The one thing I think that stands out, and I hope that I can, you know, stay away from as many of this as much of this, I should say, as possible, is I hear it in WWE and I hear it in TNA, is they don't stop to think what they're saying. You know, Hogan's daughter says, hey, I just want to introduce myself, but I've already told you that I'm going to do this or that for you. Wait a minute, then if you're just introducing yourself, how could you have already told me this? Just stupid things like that, you know. Little miscues in the verbiage, I think, you know. And you got to realize, especially live, that it's more critical because, you know, if you and I are making a movie, we can go back and do 10 retakes if necessary. If you say the wrong word or I say it the wrong way, they don't have that option now. And that's not necessarily a good thing. So I think, you know, they've got to be a little more careful with that, as they're going forward. I think the in-ring product, you know, I think Storm and Bobby Roode have stepped up. I'm like Lance Storm about the whole Bound for Glory thing is how important is it to get it, you know, to go through this whole charade of a tournament to get a title shot when the champion's probably going to defend the damn thing. You know, if the guys in the tournament are actually the best you have, then anybody he defends it against is secondary, or you've already made them seem so. And what's the problem with putting more focus, like on your tag, you know, for a top spot, and save the damn world, your heavyweight title, world title, for the end of the tournament, so it means more. You know, you said earlier, titles don't mean anything. Titles don't mean anything because you don't make them mean anything. You know, going back to what Matt Hardy said on his interview today, what Kenny Dorn said, you know, babyfaces need to friggin' learn how to, you know, it's all right to sell. That's the only reason people get behind you, is because you're down. You can only come back if you're down. And, you know, Matt Hardy's saying it needs to go back to more, being real. It's not, you know, and certainly that's the thing that's lacking in so many storylines. It's like, you know, the Joseph, and I don't know where they're going with the Joseph Park thing, but I can tell you right now that if Abyss is able to play himself on camera, it'll be the shocker of the year. I mean, if he's his brother and himself at the same time.
They could be. I mean, that's one of those, that's a big slippery slope one, because a lot of people were, was it a costume change on the pay-per-view? No, that, I think it's come out pretty clearly that was one of Bubba Ray's students, obviously, in that role. I think they've gone further with this than they thought they would. But, you know, it's also got the potential to where if people stop caring, as good as Bully Ray is, too, because he is really, his veteran presence shows through, and both he and D-Von, when they are in really good shape, and D-Von certainly has gotten himself into good shape,
you could tell the seasoning that comes out with them, and he's been very good. But when people, that's one of those angles where if people stop caring, it could be very abrupt and very painful. So they better have a way out of it.
The other thing. This guy is supposed to be a lawyer. When does he actually practice law? And
apparently at the same time Otunga does.
Okay. At least Otunga, wears wrestling gear. He never puts his coffee cup down, but he wears wrestling gear. But with Park, too, it's like, why, if his brother is not at this show, why is he there? I mean, we've established his brother's not there, so why does he keep coming back? I mean, if I'm looking for a member of my family and they're not here, then why would I stay here? Keep looking for them where they're not. And Mike, you have the rest of your life to give me a legitimate common sense answer to that. Because you can't find one.
Of course
right?
not.
Well, you know, here's the other thing, too. Little things, like when AJ and Dixie left the building and AJ came back to do the run-in on the tag in his wrestling gear. Did he leave in it?
Yes.
See, I mean, those are things I hope that we're not doing a television show, so, a lot of those things won't be a problem for me. But, I think those are the little things somebody has to stop and think about. Because if you're trying to suspend my disbelief, you've got to work a lot harder at it than either company is actually doing.
And it's one of those things, too, that people look a bitch on the internet and hardcore fans and things like that where we're constantly watching. The average person, if they don't pick it up right away, which is the problem with WWE, is they were able to bust, the casual fan was able to bust plot holes and things and not get into them because it was so bad, and even they couldn't suspend their disbeliefs. But subconsciously, when things like that happen, that's when the atrophy of, your casual fan and your wrestling fan starts. It gets in there, and even though, you may think you got away with something, things like that do, end up mattering, with things like titles and stipulations and things like that, where even if it's not obvious, that it tends to work its way down and ends up, being one of the things that helps to crumble. And actually, we're getting towards the end here, so I should mention, for all of your news and information, as always, you should already know this, to go to ringsiderap.com. If you're on Twitter, at ringsiderap as well, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, and no PSP tomorrow with those guys, but we're going to make up for it for them next week when we have Tully Blanchard on, who he knows a little something, too, I think, as well.
Yeah, Tully's been around the horn two or three times. Real quick, if anyone is if a wrestler is interested in getting a physical address to send me a disc to look at, or to attend one of these, any of these camps that we're going to be doing will be posted on epwt.com. But you can reach me at les@epwt.com if you're interested.
Yeah, we're going to bust that up on ringsiderap.com as well. And also, too, for those who go to the site, again, this coming Sunday, we talked a little about it with Mike Mondo, who let us know on this show, maybe it was breaking news and firsthand information, that he will not be there on Sunday. Got the call that he won't be there, but you can be there in spirit, at least, and do so by going to ringsiderap.com and ordering it. And because it helps us out too, and obviously we get a chance to go to that last commercial break or anything like that, unfortunately enough. But we'd like to thank all of our sponsors again there too, and we'll make up for it next week, girls at the Empire. But if you want to get a hold of me. At SemperVivi on Twitter, or on my Facebook as well, Michael SemperVivi. And coming up with Brian Alvarez this coming Sunday from 6 to 8 on Sports Byline, as well as Evan Mike Big Audio Nightmare, which we will be probably doing again here real, real soon. And Les, everything on track for your shows coming up?
Well, just, like I say, I'm working on this thing for North Carolina at the end of July, 1st of August. I'll have more details on that as it gets solidified. but definitely will be in Edmonton, Alberta in September 14, 15, 16 for a training camp and 3 days. So I'm really looking forward to that because it's my first venture into that part of the country since I wrestled up there in 1962. So, and again, we are open. I'd like to get out and do some camps because I'd like to see some fresh talent. And give me a shout and we'll work it out.
I'd like to see Vance and Lance Storm buy you dinner as too when you're up there as well. But about 20 seconds here, folks. And I just want to take it. I haven't had a chance to in a while. Doc Young, I hope you're doing well, sir. And Vic Sosa is doing a good job with Alex Marvez and Les last week and doing a good job holding the show down and while you get better, buddy. So, everybody, we're going to talk to you next week. Thanks.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.